If you have your Bible, turn to Hosea tonight, would you please? The book of Hosea. I have a little thought on my heart. Early this morning, I got the word "follow" on my heart, and I began to seek the Lord about what He would have for the service tonight, and I thought I remembered these words, and I looked it up, and I did remember these words, where the Word of God uses the phrase, "if we follow on to know the Lord." And it's only used one time like that in the Word of God. Hosea chapter 6 tonight. Hosea chapter 6. How many of you all believe that the good Lord Jesus is trying to get the attention of the world that we live in? We read our Bibles, so we see it being fulfilled before our eyes. And in the last verse of chapter 5 in the book of Hosea, he said, "I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early." I don't believe I've heard one person in a position of authority since all this has started. I don't believe I've heard one person suggest that we ought to seek the face of God. I've heard a lot about science, Brother Grizzle. I've heard a lot about vaccines. I've heard a lot about masks. Heard a lot about distancing and things of that, and I'm not trying to fuss tonight or be picky, but what would be wrong with seeking God's face? I do believe that that we as a nation, we've passed laws that are offensive to God. I mean, there's a lot of things that's went on since the beginning of time that were offensive to God. But a nation like ours recognized that, and we didn't put our stamp of approval on it. But we're living in a day when we've put our stamp of approval on drunkenness. We've put our stamp of approval on the drug culture. We put our stamp of approval on the sex culture. I'm talking about as a nation now, not us as a church. We don't approve of those things. We're going to stick by the grace of God to the Bible. Amen? Even here recently, think about this. I think the figure, you correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm close, I know I'm close, was $950. You can steal. You can loot. Is that close, Brother Grizzle? As long as you don't take more than $950 worth. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'd be afraid to steal 95 cents off of any of you, let alone $950. And the Bible said, "I will go and return to my place until," he said, "till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face, and in their affliction they'll seek me early." You do remember that Second Chronicles said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face." I just read this morning where Moses interceded for the children of Israel when God was so fed up with them that he was going to judge them. And he and Moses, I'm paraphrasing, saying he's thinking, what's Pharaoh going to say about all that if we kill him? You understand what I mean? And so Moses was willing to even put his own life on the line, much like the Apostle Paul did when he said, "I could wish myself a curse from Christ, from my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." In verse number 1 of chapter 6, the Bible said, "Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. In verse 3 says, this is where my text is tonight, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. Pray with me a moment. Would you, Father, thank you tonight for this precious old book. Thank you, God, tonight for your people. I pray the Holy Spirit of the living God would speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, we know that, Lord, that we're in trouble as a nation. And Lord, we know that the answer is found in the Word of God and seeking God's face once again. And I do pray, Lord, I know, our Father, that everybody in Washington, D.C. is not a heathen. Lord, surely there's some men and some women up there that know Jesus and the free pardon of sin. Lord, it seems like we live in a society where automatically a person would come under attack to even mention his name. God, give somebody the boldness to stand. Somebody the boldness, our Lord, that would not be arrogant, but be humble. And Lord, call on us as a nation to repent of our evil ways. Father, I thank you for the prophet Hosea, and I thank you, Lord, that, Father, that though the children of Israel were being chastened of the Lord, there was hope. The hope, our Father, of revival. But Lord, there would be no revival without repentance. There would be no revival without returning. God, what a blessing it'd be to see a revival in the land. I pray now, Father, tonight, you'll speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Prayer request I just was reminded of before I look in the scripture tonight. How many of you all remember Brother Castle with Rock of Ages? His mommy passed away today. She was in Florida, and her funeral will be Saturday in Mount Airy, North Carolina. So if you'd remember Brother Jeff and remember his family, I sure would appreciate that. This following on to know the Lord, I want to just look at four things tonight that comes to my attention when I look at this text tonight. First of all, it involves people. It might be kind of understated, but if you look in verse number 1, it said, come and let us. I want to remind God's people tonight that we're not in this alone. We need each other. I've said this before, and I believe it's true. Before the Lord Jesus comes to take us home, we may need each other more than we've ever needed each other. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible said, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn. I like the prophets and the men of God in the Old Testament. They were always willing to identify with the sins of the nation. They didn't say it's us and them, but it was talking about as a whole, the people. I would to God that there could be a day in America again, that it wouldn't matter what color you were, it wouldn't matter what political stripe you were. We could just be Americans and thank God for the land of the free and the home of the brave. Amen. For the price that's been paid for our nation. I'll give you a couple things tonight. Just thinking about the people. In verse number 1, he said, let us return. When I read that phrase, my mind and my heart went back to the book of Hebrews. This phrase is used over and over again in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 1 said, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should come, seem to come short of it. I believe the fear of God is one thing that's missing. Listen to me carefully. Not only in the world, but many times in the church. We ought to fear God. The Bible said that's the beginning of wisdom. Not just for a man that's unsaved that needs to be saved. That's the beginning of wisdom for us that are the children of the living God as well. In Hebrews 4:11, he said, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. In Hebrews 4:14, seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, this is good for us today. Let us hold fast our profession. There's got to be a temptation every once in a while in every one of us's heart to throw up our hands and say, what's the use? The harder I try, the behinder I get. Amen. The harder we pray, the worse sometimes it seems to get. I'll get to that after a while. A good point, I believe, that God wants to teach us in this lesson. In Hebrews 4:16, it said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. I think one time when we were in the fellowship hall, I made this statement. It's just us. But praise God, it is us. We're the people of God. Amen. And the people of God are important in the work of God. In Hebrews 6, the Bible said, verse 1, leaving the principles and the doctrine of Christ, let us go on. There's that let us again to perfection. We've not arrived, Jones. The Apostle Paul was 100, 1,000, 10,000 times better man than I am. And yet he said, what was it? We press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're not there. Not as one that's already attained. We're not there yet. We're pressing on, pressing toward that mark. The Bible said in Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart in the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Hebrews 10:24, I love this. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I believe that he loves to meet with his people. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. But he said, let us return. It's about God's people. Think about Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And I'll get to this after a while. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Wherefore, Hebrews 12:28, we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Hebrews 13:13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Years ago, in Baptist circles, you all may not be aware of this, and I'm not saying that in a derogatory way, but among preachers, they would want to know what camp you were in. And in other words, did you identify with Harold Seitler? Did you identify with Lee Robertson? Did you identify with Jack Hiles? What camp are you in? And I tell you what I told everybody that ever asked me that. None of them. I said, I'm outside the camp with Jesus. Amen. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Many of those men would have been afraid, if they're in a certain camp, to take a position that maybe that camp did not take. How sad. How sad. The Bible said, bearing his reproach. Let us therefore go forth then to him without the camp. Then Hebrews 13:15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of God, of praise to God continually. So if we're going to follow on to know the Lord, it's not a one-man show. We need each other. It's about God's people. I've often used a little illustration. And I believe there's a reason Jesus tells us in the book of Hebrews, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That's encouraging one another. Being a Barnabas to one another. Even so much the more as you see the day approaching. There can be days when your pastor would come through those doors, and I use this phrase because I think it's true. I think sometimes emotionally and spiritually we are lower than a snake's belly. And you're going to be there to help pick me up. There are going to be other days you're going to come through those doors lower than a snake's belly. And perhaps pastor and others can help to pick you up. We don't mean to get in that shape. Say amen. Is there anybody here that gets discouraged? Is there anybody here that just wish you never heard any news? Another high school shooting this week. Just mow people down to be mowing them down. The wickedness in people's hearts. You all may not do this, but I try, Brother Steve. I try when I see that little 8-year-old boy that's run over in that parade without any teeth, just like Sawyer, only he got an early start. You say, how did he get an early start? He was disobedient to Papaw. He was going up the slide backwards. His feet went out from under him, and his mouth smacked that slide, and he come up spitting teeth and blood. My wife told me just a little while ago, 6 stitches in the bottom of his chin today. He fell at school. The Lord Jesus only knows what he was doing. Amen. But when I see the news, I ask myself, Brother Michael, how would I feel about that if that was Sawyer? In a high school, how would I feel about that if that was Aubrey? Or Aaron? Or Avery? He said, well, Pastor, that's way out yonder. I'm going to tell you something right now. We better bring it in close and pray. That's the way it used to be with all this sin. It used to be way over yonder, but it's come home, ain't it? Everywhere. People. What's the purpose of it? That's what I want to look at now. The Bible said, then shall you know if you follow on to know the Lord. I believe the purpose is to know Him. Think about this tonight. You say, Pastor, I know the Lord. I'm not talking about, and I'll use Paul's words in a moment. I'm not talking about knowing that you're saved. Thank God we know we're saved. If you've been to Calvary, you've trusted Christ as your Savior. But that's not the end. That's just the beginning. When the Bible's talking about following on to know the Lord, I mean, when Jesus said to Andrew, follow me. When he said to Philip, follow me. When he said to Peter, follow me. That wasn't the end. That was just the beginning of that relationship with Christ and that fellowship with him. That I may know him. That's the purpose of it. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's saying, he dwelleth with you, that's me. And he shall be in you, that's the Holy Ghost that's going to come when I send back to my Father. In Philippians 3:10, the Apostle Paul, he said that I may know him. Paul had already been saved on the road to Damascus. He already knew his sins were forgiven. He already said, I'm less than the least of all the saints. And if you're talking about sinners, though, I'm the chief of sinners. Paul already knew all that. But the closer he got to the Lord, the closer he wanted to be, and the more he deemed that he needed to know him, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The Apostle Paul experienced those things. He knew the fellowship of his sufferings. He knew the power of his resurrection. He knew what it was to be let down outside the city, to be stoned. I believe that's when he was caught up into the third heaven and saw things that were not lawful to be uttered. In 1 John 2 and verse 3, the Bible said, hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And we know that the Son of God is come, 1 John 5:20, hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Following on to know the Lord, that is the purpose of the Christian life. I believe that God's people are important if we're going to follow on to know him. I believe knowing the purpose is important. But God has a plan for this. You say, Pastor, what is God's plan? How does God accomplish it? I was reminded as I was thinking about the word follow today of a man that the Word of God said, holy, follow the Lord. Now that's not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-L-Y. Completely follow the Lord. And that was Caleb. In Numbers 32:12, the Bible said, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the king Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. Again, it says that in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse number 36, they wholly followed the Lord. In Joshua chapter 14 and verse number 8, it's repeated again. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I, Joshua said, wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, Joshua 14:9, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Then in Hebron, Joshua 14:14, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. How is it that we're going to follow on to know the Lord? God wants us to dedicate our lives. Jesus said, he that comes after me, he'll need to deny himself. He'll need to take up his cross, and he'll need to follow me. God has a plan. I read this and I thought this was pretty good. I think you'll get this. I'll get to it in a moment, but we should ask ourselves the question right now, am I following the Lord? And then go a step further, am I wholly following the Lord? I'll give you some things in a minute I think will help us. S.I. McMillan, in his book, None of These Diseases, he tells the story of a young woman who wanted to go to college. But her heart sank when she read the question on the application blank that asked, are you a leader? Being both honest and conscientious, she wrote no and returned the application expecting the worst. To her surprise, she received this letter from the college. Dear applicant, a study of the application forms reveals that This year, our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative that they have at least one follower. I'm going to tell you something right now. When it comes to Jesus, ain't nobody leading him. But thank God he's got an army behind him following. One person said it like this, said, if you think you're leading and you look behind you and no one's following, you're not leading, you're just going for a walk. Jesus is not just going for a walk. Thank God he's got some followers still in this world that we live in today. Where he leads me, the songwriter said, I will follow. There has to be a plan to follow him. It doesn't just happen by chance. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 13 for just a moment, please. Numbers chapter 13. I want to look in chapter 13 just a moment, chapter 14 just a little bit, the book of Numbers. I hope this will be a blessing to you. Numbers chapter 13. You say, Pastor, what's the plan? What is it that causes men? What is it that causes women? What is it that causes teenager to want to follow Jesus? I believe it's the same thing that caused Joshua and Caleb to want to go and take the land that God had promised them. And it's called faith. Watch what the Bible said in verse 26 of chapter 13 in the book of Numbers. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word again unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Can I say this? It flowed with milk and honey, and God had already told them it was a land that flowed with milk and honey. Nevertheless, the people be strong. Nevertheless, they threw a monkey wrench in it, didn't they? Yep, the land's just exactly what God said it was. But I want you to know this is what the 10 spies are saying. And by the way, beloved, listen, that teaches us something right there in the Word of God. The majority's not always right. There were only 2 out of the 12 that were right. And those 2 believed God. And I think that it would be wonderful. I just thought of something when I made that statement. The majority is not always right. Do you know what we're trying to survive on in America? Polls. Am I right or am I wrong? Any issue, you take any issue and we'll just poll the people. Why don't we poll the Bible? The Word of God said here, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land, the south of the Hittites, and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people. I don't know how he did that, Brother Steve. I don't know how he did that. I don't know if he stood up and said, listen to me. But he stilled the people. I don't know if he told them to shut up. I don't know if he asked them, when are you going to grow up? I don't know if he said to them, when are we going to believe God? I don't know what he did, but he stilled the people. He got their attention before Moses, and he said, let us go up. What's the next 2 words? At once. Right now. You know what I believe? I'll get to this a little bit later. But I've got 4 boxes out there of John Romans, about 1,300 John Romans. I thought I'd go ahead and get enough to do January 2. We'll give out 500 of them, God willing, in December. And I thought I'd go ahead and get enough. But you know what? Brother Steve, this was your idea. No. Listen, the at once. Miss Eve talked to me on the way to church about the door hangers. I shared that with Brother Steve. And Brother Steve came right back to me not long after that and said, we can do something between now and Christmas, and we need to. In other words, at once. Let's get with it. Let's do something. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you poll the church this size, somebody probably say, well, I don't think that'd do much good. Am I right or wrong? The Bible said it once and possessed it. And then here's what Caleb said, for we are well able to overcome him. When the Word of God said that Joshua and Caleb wholly followed the Lord, right here's what it comes back to. We believe God. God's brought us this far. Listen to me just a moment. God, we've been in the wilderness for 40 years. You know what I mean? And we've crossed the Red Sea. And actually, they're going to head into the wilderness. But listen, God took care of the children of Israel when their back was against the wall. But the men that went up with us said, we be not able. There's the two positions. We're well able, and we be not able. What did Saul tell David when David went down there and told him, I'll go down there and fight that giant? He said, you're not able. You're just a youth. He's been a man of war from his youth. When are we going to learn? It reminds me, Brother Grizzle, years ago I was sitting with the deacons in a church that I pastored. In our church, we had what we called faith promise giving, that people just prayed about it and they for what they were going to do for the year. Then you took that in, you added that up, and you gave it to missions. And we tried to increase, of course, every year. And one day I was sitting there with the deacons, and we were talking to one another. And I said, wait a minute. I said, we're looking at a bunch of figures and trying to figure out if we can take on two more missionaries. I said, we're getting in the pulpit and asking God's people to believe God. I said, when are we going to believe God? Seeing it on paper first ain't believing God. You know what we did? We took on the missionaries when it didn't look like we could take on the missionaries. And God blessed us abundantly and beyond measure. In other words, Pastor, don't stand in the pulpit and ask your people to live by faith if you won't do the same thing. Watch this now. They said, we're not able. They're stronger than we are. I want to ask you something right now. The enemy is stronger than we are. How many say amen right there? But here's the key. Is the enemy stronger than he is? That's the key. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so, Joshua and Caleb, they did not go with what they could see. They didn't take a poll. They looked to heaven, and they had a plan. That plan was to believe God. If you go into chapter number 14 in verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land. God pronounces in chapter number 14 that those men that did not believe me, they're going to die in the wilderness. They're not going into the promised land. I believe it was those that were the age of men, where they could be men of war, because they would not believe God. They would not believe God. We need to follow. I'll give you several things real quickly about following.
Follow by faith. That's what we're saying right here in chapter number 13 and 14. I want you to think about following and forgiveness. In John 1:43, the day following, Jesus would go into Galilee, and he findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. In John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You see, we ought to follow God because God has forgiven us. That ought to be reason enough right there to follow the Lord. And I'll tell you something else. We ought to follow him because there's somebody else God wants to forgive. You remember the song, Dear God, it'd be good to break out in song someday. You remember the song that said, I'm so glad he found me, put his arms around me, in love unbound me, led me to the shelter. How many remembers when God led you to the shelter? Now I'm one of his own. Oh, the joy of knowing, with hearts overflowing, someday I'm going to my home in glory, walk on streets of purest gold. Everybody that knows that ought to follow on to know the Lord. I've been forgiven, and God wants that forgiveness to be passed along. Turn to John chapter 21. You don't have to turn. If you don't want to, I'll read it to you. I want to give you this. I called it following after failure. John chapter 21, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Jesus is talking to Peter. You remember Peter's the one that cursed. Peter's the one that denied him. Peter's the one the Word of God said that followed afar off. He's the one that warmed his hands by the devil's fire, denied that he even knew the Lord. But aren't you glad that failure's not final? That though we failed the Lord, he's never failed us. And though we failed the Lord, he can still say, come on and follow me. Peter was able to do that. Following over fortune. You remember the rich young ruler. Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. Beloved, his fortune meant more to him than following Jesus. The Word of God said he went away sorrowful, because he had much possessions, or many possessions. Following in the Father, in John chapter 12 and verse 26, and if any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there my servant shall be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You know what happened to Joshua and Caleb? The God of heaven honored them. Over and over and over in this book, God honors faith. He said to Abraham, I want you to leave. What did Abraham do? He left Ur of the Chaldees. And God blessed him over and over and over again. I'll give you this, and I'll go on to the last thing in the message. Following and fishing. Jesus saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. I thought about my grandson when God spoke to my heart about that today. He has got it bad. He's 14 years old. I don't know, Brother Michael, if there's a bass fishing show that he ain't watched. I don't know if there's a bait that he don't know what it's for and what color and how deep. I mean, he has got it bad. You'd have to have a good memory to fish like he does. One of his Christmas presents is going to be a reel, and I wish I could tell you. I can't remember the technical terms of it, but it's a bait casting reel. Does anybody know what a bait casting reel is? Just just four of us, five, six. How many's ever messed up with a bait casting reel? You throw it out there and you don't slow it down in time with your thumb, and there's just this big bird's nest that goes poof right in your hand. Well, this reel, somewhere or another, is electronic. You ain't even heard of it, have you, Michael? You'll be researching after church, amen. And that's what my grandson wants. I'm telling you, he's got it bad. I'm talking about $150 and $200 reels and $150 and $200 poles. The last I checked, you can catch a fish on a bamboo stick. Amen. But I'll say this, Brother Jim, you can also kill a deer with a 30-30, can't you, brother? Ain't nobody I know hunting deer with a 30-30 anymore. Amen. Following and fishing. You say, Pastor, why'd you mention your grandson? Well, a good fisherman, he knows what works. He's aware of the conditions, the temperature of the water, the clarity of the water. Am I telling it right, Brother Michael? He's aware of the overcast versus sunny. Different things work on different days. I remember being on the river one time. The first time I was on the river, I was on the river with a man with an airboat. It was so loud. Honestly, and I'm deaf anyway. It was so loud, I couldn't stand it. So I got me two of them white grubs out of his out of his tackle box. They're rubber and about that long, and I crammed them in both ears. Them little tails was giving it that. I'm sure I looked pretty going down the river. You say, Pastor, what's that got to do with us? Are we aware of our surroundings? Are we aware that Jesus said, if you'll follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. In one place he said, make you to become. In other words, he'll work with us. Amen. I'll say this, and I'm not being critical. There's probably somebody sitting here tonight and you've not given out one of these cards. If that's you, I'll say it like this. Somebody told me one time, if you're going to say something mean, said, don't just say it, repeat it after somebody that already did. This is what a preacher said. He said, if I'm not fishing, am I following? I want you to answer that in your heart and in your mind. If you're not trying to get somebody to Christ, I didn't say to church, which that's a good thing, but we ought to be way more interested in getting them to Christ than we are getting them to church. If we're not trying to get somebody to Christ, I don't believe we're walking too close to the Lord. Because that's His heartbeat. That's what makes Him tick. It's the souls of men. Y'all believe that? Follow on to know the Lord. Now I'm going to give you this and I'm done. We looked at a purpose. We looked at, well, first it was people, then a purpose and a plan by faith. Follow the Lord. But I want to give you a word that I think will bring all of it together tonight, and that's the word patience. The Word of God said that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Somebody tell me how many years went by before he looks at Joshua and says, I want that mountain. How many years? The rest of them died in the wilderness, you remember? But Joshua and Caleb went all the way through. He was willing. You remember he said, I'm 80 years old and yet I got the same strength that I had when I was 40. Is that right? In other words, When we're praying, we need to pray with patience. When we're sowing the seed, we need to sow the seed with patience. The Lord blessed my wife and I. We haven't grown a garden in years and years, and we decided this year. Actually, I didn't decide. She did. And when she decides, I helped her. And we planted the garden and we prayed over it, and did God bless it? I mean, it had defrost before we quit having okra. That stuff is good when you put it in Miss Eve's hands and let her fix it. Man, it's good. I don't know if it's good for you, but it's good. You'd have to know all the stuff she puts on it. Amen. That's what makes it good. Patience. You don't put it in the ground one day and enjoy the fruit the next day. I was thinking about our church when God spoke to me about this today. I'm going to be very honest and very fair with you. God's been good to us. Very good to us. Say amen. But are we going to give up? Are we satisfied? Are we going to give up? Pastor going to give up? We're going to keep praying. He said, go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. He said, Pastor, you got no business being interested in a church full. Why not? He is. He said, compel them to come in that my house may be, tell me the next word, may be what? Help me. Filled. We had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we had a full house. Amen. We had a full house. And when the grandchildren start having children, if Papaw's still around, it's going to get fuller. Amen. God wants us to follow on, to know the Lord. Caleb was willing to do that. Joshua was willing to do that. They wholly followed the Lord, and God blessed them tremendously. We've got an opportunity coming up to sow some seed. And I just think about if one person, just one person, that John Romans is a marked edition. In other words, you don't even have to know the Bible. It'll tell you what page to turn to. And it'll lead you right through. It'll introduce you to Christ if you'll read it in the Spirit of God, just bringing life to you. How many's glad you come tonight?